by you. Ah, that's better. So y'all doing good?
Yes.
Y'all understand me all right?
Yes.
I know most of you don't, but that's okay. We'll make it. When I first went to Mexico, I was Americano, you know? And I went to language school and learned Spanish. When I got down in the mountains, it was the wrong language. I needed Aztec, and I could speak Spanish. But I had to learn Aztec also, so I did. Now, we're going to start off on the wrong foot. Let me tell you why. Y'all understand the wrong foot? That is the right foot. Now, he come and brought a piece of thing down here so we could get on the right foot. If you're here and you have a piece of cloth that you want prayed for, or a shoe, or a tie, or a coat, if you can do it without making this a coffee shop, come down here and pile it up over here, please. But you're responsible for your own things. But what I need to know is, who don't understand what this is? If you don't understand what this is, raise your hand. Okay, there's quite a few people. Okay, now look at here. I got to stand somewhere. Okay. Yeah, just in a minute. Okay, now you're turning it into a coffee shop. I asked you specifically not to do that. I don't drink coffee. I don't like coffee shops. How we doing? Doing all right, sir? God bless you, sir. Well, I see y'all are not listening. So I'll just get myself ready and wait. Holy Ghost. Okay. All right. So, you have a handful. So they picked you to bring everybody's stuff, huh? Well. Okay. Okay, this is looking a lot better. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
What?
Okay. That's enough conversation. Let me talk a minute. Because I really do have something to say. It is important. Y'all hear me okay? All right. If you will, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 3. I believe that's the right one. I'll have to look and see. But it doesn't matter if it is or if it isn't. We can raise the dead with any verse in there, so it don't matter. Let me tell you why you have a problem with me. Because I can raise the dead and you can't. It's easy now for me. This is why you're here. This is why I have a job. Because I have discovered an avenue to God that lets power free flow. Do you hear me? When people get born again in our work, I tell them on the spot, go and raise the dead. Because all you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. And now you can do what he did. You theologians are going to have serious trouble with me. But what we'll do is we'll stack up your dead up against mine. I have fewer than you do. Let's get to know each other. My name is David. Let me tell you what I do for a living. I heal the sick. I cleanse the lepers. I cast out demons. And I raise the dead. Nothing else. I've tried lots of other things and they don't have the same value. I'm an eighth generation preacher. So you know what you can do if you're a religious twit. And it don't include me. My family's been abused by religion my whole life. And I just am absolutely a defender of the faith, not politics. We getting to know each other yet? I was a preacher's son. I had an awesome family. I was blessed of the Lord. I loved my parents. They were really good people. And then I grew up enough to bump a little bit on the outside of the church. And I found out that most of the church was worldly. They were lying to me, and it disappointed me. So I got angry and left. I joined a gang and decided to persecute the church. It was fun. Jesus came and talked to me on a jet one day, audibly, and told me these words, "You must be born again." And I spoke out loud because you see I'm not inhibited. I just don't have natural fear of you. The other day I was walking with your lions. Now those things are formidable. I had one of them by the tail. It's a true statement. Where was that at, Polokwane? Whoo, them lions are big. Lord have mercy. I thought to myself, self? Don't need a tangle with a lion. It'd be a shame for them to lose. I thought the pilot was preaching to us, y'all, on that jet. So I got up out of my seat and was walking up there to curse this guy out for preaching to me. And the stewardess put her hand up in front of me and said, "Where are you going?" "Well, I got to talk to this captain because I don't want anybody preaching to me. This is a public environment. I'm going to shut him up from preaching the gospel." She said to me, "I know this guy. He's anything but a preacher. It's not him preaching to you." And that perplexed me. "Well, then who is it?" She said that no one's using their PA on their plane. So I went and sat down. I'm trying to think, who is it? And it spoke to me again, this voice did. You must be born again. So I spoke back to him. I will not. Now, I don't know what you know about this life on these jets, but think back 38, 40 years ago. And you got a guy like me, I was a roughneck. Do you understand roughneck?
Yeah.
Oil field hand. And I speak out loud, I'm not getting born again. The whole jet was just looking at me. But as you can see, that doesn't faze me much. And I told heaven, I won't do it. And this is what I told God. Y'all know you can't negotiate with him. He thinks he's in charge. But we all know that men are. I said to him, you show me one man, not a dozen, not 40. I want one guy that's doing what Jesus did. Show me that one person. I'll believe your word. God spoke to me again. I'm going to make you that man. And I said to him, that's a deal. So I unbuckled my seatbelt, got out in the middle of the aisle, knelt down, and I led myself to Jesus. I'd watched my daddy do it my whole life. I knew how. I did believe Jesus was the Son of God. I just didn't like the church part of things. So I got born again, and when we landed in Anchorage, Alaska, I called my wife on the phone. I said, Ms. Hogan, I'm born again. She fell on the floor, boom. She dropped the phone. I thought she died. She didn't die. She was so excited, she fell down. And then a little while later, I heard about this missionary from Nigeria going to be in our area. I didn't know what that was, a missionary. Never heard that word in my life. So I told my wife, let's go see what that is. Over at this charismatic church. I asked them when I got there, what is charismatic church? What does that mean? They said, it's where the Holy Ghost comes and people speaks in tongues. I said, what's a Holy Ghost? And what's a speak in tongues? They said, come and see. So I went in that church building. There's this skinny guy. You know Larry Stockstill? Y'all know him? Larry Stockstill? That's who it was. He's a good friend now. But at the moment, we're going to fight. Because he gets up there and starts talking about Jesus, right? This Larry Stockstill fellow, this missionary from Nigeria, that goes out in these villages and fights these witch doctors and weird stuff happens. I never heard these words in my life. And then he said it. We were in a village, and this lady was bewitched. She had a big sore on her leg. They laid their hands on her, and a big giant frog jumped out of it. And she was healed. And when he said that, I don't know why, but that bothered me the most. I told my wife, I ain't never read a verse like that in my Bible, and I've been reading this thing a long time. I said, somebody needs to go up there and slap that joker. I guess it'll be me. So I threw my Bible down and I started up there. And I'm going to hit this fellow right in the face for thinking he had the right to make light of me in such a way. A frog jumping out of a human. Are you serious? And he's up there talking. He come down off the platform. You should have seen this skinny fella. Because I'm rolling up on him. I'm going to put him out. I done dropped my shoulder. This is going to happen. He just raised his finger up. He never took his eyes off of me. Jesus! That's the last thing I remember. Listen to me. 3 days. I couldn't eat. I couldn't talk. I couldn't work. I could just sit there and look at my wife. The fire of God hit me. And it's not diminishing. It's growing. Not long after that, I'm in a rocking chair on my way to, I'm fixing to go to work in a few minutes. And that voice that spoke to me on the jet said to me, Mexico. I told my wife, what in the cat hair is a Mexico? She said, I don't know. So I wrote it down on a piece of paper and went to work. Probably 5 days later, I'm sitting in the same chair. I'm fixing to go to work again. That same voice spoke to me again. Mexico. So I told my wife, we got to go to the library. Nowadays, you just hit Google. I had to actually go study. Found out it's a nation. They speak Spanish. They eat chilies and black beans. For some reason, God had it all planned out. Once I studied the thing, my phone rings, and it's a fellow on the other end says, look here, I'm a missionary from Mexico. I said, okay, hold on. What do you mean missionary? What does that mean? I left houses, homes, mamas, and daddies, and I went to the mission field. I went to Mexico. I said, Mexico? There's a voice been speaking to me about that nation. He said, I'm coming to your church on this day here. I said, fine. He came, the place was full, more full than this. And we had never seen that many people. The Mississippi Delta in a cotton field in Louisiana, that's where I'm from. Just in the edge of a big swamp. That's where I ate. I got my food from that swamp. Because if it's crawling, eat it. And that man stood up there, he said something. I don't even remember the Bible verse. He said there are hundreds of thousands of villages with no gospel. I stood straight up. I said to him, that cannot be true. This is modern times. That was 1974. How could there be places on the planet that the gospel hasn't reached? He said, that is the right question. He said, because my people, God says, my people won't humble themselves and call on God. I said, I don't believe you. He said, they told me about you. Come and see for yourself. I said, I'll do it. I didn't have a clue what I was saying. That's a long ways. I'd never left the state. Furthest I went was Anchorage, Alaska, when I got born again. That was the very first time I ever left Louisiana. They tried to get me to go to Texas once. I wouldn't do it. I couldn't carry enough bullets. Y'all, I went down there, I saw it for myself. Far as you can see, get on top of these huge mountains, you can see 200 kilometers. Not one Christian. And there's 110 million people live there. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I sat down on a log in one of those villages. And the Holy Ghost said these words to me. Start here. Start what? Do what? He never would answer me. So I said, fine, I'll come back. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'll do whatever I'm supposed to. I'll figure it out. I went back, quit my job. We sold all of our junk. I went to language school. I learned Spanish. Got down there. No money. Went out to my first village. Got these sick people in front of me. I lay hands on them and they all died. I went back and I sat down with my Bible and I read my Bible to God. I said, listen to me, this is not what your word says. Your word says they're supposed to be healed. Why are they dying? Nothing. So I went back out there again. Some more people died. I come back and I told my wife, this thing's not working. It can't be my fault. I said, I love Jesus. I have left houses and homes. I have left my job. We're suffering without money. We don't even have food. Why won't this work? See, without food, all that obedience I did, it still didn't work. And you're sitting here with food and all this stuff, and you can't get it to work. And you think you're brighter than I am. Well, at least I can raise the dead. So I decided to seek the Holy God. I decided to try to find Him and please Him. No matter what the cost, because I've already paid a big cost. I was making right around 5,000 take home U.S. dollars a month, and I was a kid. So I was already paying a price as far as finances and family goes. To us, it was a stiff price. And then I got there to do my job, and it didn't work, and I'm not good at my job, and I hate that. You have no idea. I like to be good at what I do. Now I'm one of the best alive. So how did we get there? How do we come from a zero to a champion? What is it that cut us out of the herd? Don't you think that's the right question? Because I know what you want. I know why you're here. Anybody in this room can do the things I do. You don't have enough reason or logic to avoid the mercy of God. The goodness of God overrides everything. Amen. I took my Bible, not this electronic thing, but the paper one. This is before all this came out. But I took my Bible, I took it apart, y'all. I've studied my Bible my whole life. I left the church for a while, you know, because I was angry. But my mama taught me the Bible before I went to school the first day. I could quote you every story in the Bible perfectly. Knowing them is different than doing them. So how do you get to know the God that does these things? This is why we're here, right? I took my Bible apart. I had these notebooks, these spiral notebooks. Is that what y'all call them? I don't know if that's what you call them or not. I wrote down everybody in the Bible, all of them, starting in Genesis, went straight through to Revelations. Took me 6 months. I took the whole thing apart. Then I categorized everybody. How much did they pray? How much did they fast? What was their family life like? What were their kids like? What were the results of their prayer life? And I had the whole thing, and I mulled over it for months and months because I couldn't do the job. And then one day I told my wife, I've come to a conclusion. This is impossible. She said, then what are we going to do? I said, we're going to bow. Every one of these men that have results at what I think we should be doing were men of prayer, were men of fasting. We're men of responsibility, men of duty, men of success, faithful, dedicated, diligent human beings. I can do those things. I can fast. I can pray. God will teach me. He loves me. So I did. I started doing all that stuff. Modern church don't like to talk about prayer and fasting anymore. Hence, you get the results that you want. Nothing. But you see, there's people like me traipsing around the planet looking for an army. But we're going to win this thing with the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We're not going to be ashamed. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to worry with men. We're going to worry with pleasing God. 4 years, I lost nearly everybody I prayed for. That's very disappointing. I mean, it got to where I'd go into a village and they'd say, there's coal here, but don't you pray for them. And then one day, see, this is where it starts. It's a suddenly event. Acts chapter 2, what's the first word? Suddenly. So are we in, where are we? Psalms or Acts? Psalms. Number 3, verse 1. Y'all there? Psalms 3:1. Lord, how they are increased who trouble me. See, trouble was what was going on around me. I'm supposed to be part of the solution, but I cannot make it work. Many are they who rise up against me. These witch doctors were having a field day with me. I come there preaching Jesus can do anything, and we saw nothing. Verse 2. Many are saying of me, there is no help for him in God. That's exactly what it looked like. Some of you sitting right here right now, you're at that point. You feel like you've given it your best shot. You've done your best. You have tried to love Jesus. You have tried to submit your family and your success to God. And people are abusing you and criticizing you. And you feel overwhelmed with failure. Here's what R.W. Shambach taught us to do. Tie a knot in the end of the rope and hang on and hush. God's coming directly. He'll be along. He's coming. I went out to a village. I've been doing this with some medium to no results. A man met me at my truck. Fancy American four-wheel drive. Nice integrity music playing in there. But I can't do anything. I got the best civilian truck known to humans. I got the best music known to humans. I got the best wife in the world. But yet it doesn't seem to phase hell at all. Me having an awesome life didn't impress the demons. There's something else we need. It's called the mercy of the Holy God. I got out of that truck and there's this Indian standing there. No shoes. Clothes full of holes. People I work with are in the top 5 poorest in the world. He looked at me. Te necesito, hermano David. I need you, brother David. I said, mucha gente me necesita. Lots of people need me. He said, my boy's almost dead. Now I need you to come heal him. I said, you know I'm not very good at my job yet. His response was awesome. He said, you're better than what I've got. And I told him, thank you. So I said, you got to wait. You got to wait. Because if you know your Bible, you know this verse. I believe it's Psalms 107:20 maybe. God sent his word to heal. See, I'm not the healer. The healer's name is Jesus. And so I said, we got to go over here and preach the word. The word is what heals. Y'all all know I can't heal you. You've seen that. But this word is true. Somehow it's going to start working. I don't know how. But we're going to stay with it till it does. So we went and had a small group, probably 40 people. I told them how awesome Jesus was. I said, even though I have not seen it, I know him to be really awesome. I got through, some people got saved. I was happy about that. Thank you, God. At least something's working. I was packing up my stuff, and that guy says to me, you going to my house? Pray for my son? Sure. I forgot. So we started hiking through the woods, through the jungle. Where I live, it's tropical. Well, I can't tell you how awesome it is. Those Indians have converted me. I'm a jungle fella. I can live indefinitely out there now. They're right, those people. You in this mall, you're not right. That stuff's going to fail you one of these days. Jesus won't. And I started hearing this woman screaming. She was quite loud. I didn't know what was wrong with her. Sounded like she was having a fit. We went straight to that house where the woman was screaming. Our houses are made out of grass. The roofs, they come down pretty low. You have to bend down to go in them. The walls are made out of sticks, out of bamboo. He goes in that room. A few minutes he comes out, but his countenance changed. Something was in that room that made him different. And then, just like meeting Larry Stockstill that day, just like meeting God in the jet that day, my world was fixing to change again. And I have not a clue. I don't know these. I don't go looking for change. I go looking for Jesus. And he brings me to destiny and purpose. He suits me. He armors me in God's character. So that when I meet destiny, destiny recognizes me. And he put his finger in my face. Now, I believe every born-again person needs this experience. And he said these words to me. My little boy is dead. And you're going to do something about it. And I'm looking at him. I didn't bring any spare life with me. I don't know how to do this. Neither do you. But you have to make a decision. When you meet destiny and purpose, you have to decide to walk with them. Or they'll pass you by. And I told him, show me what you got. So he goes in. I go in behind him. Now, listen, I apologize to you about this. What I'm fixing to say to you, I was more caught off guard than you're going to be right now. I raise up and there's just these five candles burning in there. And I look and there are six men standing there. They are my enemies. Three black magic warlocks. They hate me. And I return the favor. I hate them back. They are demons. I owe them but one thing. Repent or burn. And there are three spiritist healers standing there. They hate me. And I looked over there and there's the mama, the screamer person, holding a 9-year-old stiff boy. I was in a bind. Do you understand what I just said to you? My enemy's death. I've never seen this before. Everybody I touch dies. At least he's not going to die. So I made a decision. Now, if you would have been there, because you're such an awesome teacher, if you'd have been there, you could have taken my young, youthful, impetuous, aggressive self and taught me not to do what I did next. But you weren't there. I rolled up on this black magic warlock, the first one. We're this close, and I'm looking at him. He's cursing me, spitting on me. And I'm looking him right in the eyes. And I leaned over. Bam! Listen. You have no idea how bright hell can get. I stepped to the second guy. And I'm looking at him. How's it going? Bam! These guys were lit up. And I'm sitting there. We're just looking at each other. I mean, we're seething. It's like the All Blacks. And then I heard, I was distracted for a minute by these bad guys. And then I heard the mama again. You understand? She's not interested in what we're doing. Her loss is the value to her. Do you understand that? I heard her again. And so I back over. I'm looking at these guys. I'm backing away from them. I'm looking at them. And I turned. To get to her, I had to put my enemy at my back. Did you understand the statement? It's not tactically smart to put your enemy on your back. But when you're walking with destiny and purpose, it don't matter what the enemy's doing. It matters what God's doing. And so I ease over there and mom's, you know, she's looking at me because, see, when she saw me, you should have seen hope fill her eyes. But I don't have a track record of success. If you was to put it on paper, I should have went home months ago. But she quietly backed up from that little boy. She's just sobbing now. She's subdued. I didn't know what to do. I wish I could spiritualize this and make you feel bad. But that's not what you need. You need to understand that you're not alone in this. Because you don't have experience don't mean you can't do the job. It only means you don't have experience. Yeah. I got down on this little boy. He's still tacky. Color's gone. They're really dark, almost black people. He's whiter than me. And I'm laid up on top of this kid and I'm looking at him. And I put my ear down trying to find, I don't know, just one in 30 seconds would be okay. Just one heartbeat. But there wasn't any. So what do? Well, you pray, brother. Praise the Lord. If that were true, then all of y'all would be dead raisers. I honestly didn't know what to do. But then, even though the place was tense, all these enemies are there, the environment is harsh for the gospel. Well, for me. Verses started going through my mind. Elijah, he rolled in on that kid. What did he do? He laid on top of that kid. God, why'd you hide this from me? He said, come back here. So the kid came back. And then when Jesus rolled in on that 12-year-old, she's sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. He threw him out. He said to her, get up now, dear. She stood up. I said, God, and I quoted the verses to him. I said, I don't know how to do this. So I'm going to start in English and we'll go from there. I prayed in English, didn't work. So I prayed in Spanish. Surely a European language will work. Didn't work. Oh my God. Ah! I'll pray in their language since I've learned their Aztec. I started praying in their language. Didn't work. Oh, I know. This new language I got, I'll speak in tongues. That surely will work. Didn't work. So I said, heaven, I'm absolutely out of fuel. I've used every language I got and the ones that I don't even know what they're saying whenever I'm saying it. And none of this stuff works. Would you please take up some kind of slack for me? Because I seem to not know what to do. And then it happened. I'm sitting there. It's been way over an hour. His kid's been dead now close to 7 hours. I'm sitting there. Now look, what happened next changed me forever. You see how in your face I am. You see how aggressive I am. You see how I know I'm right. You see it. You can see it. It really puts people on edge because I'm really that away. I'm right about this. Jesus is king. Amen. And I'm what y'all call a believer. See, some of you in here are not believers. You are my favorite choice. We are enemies. You are a loser. You can bring it. I'm not scared of you or your devil. Shit, nah. So, lighten it up just a little. Listen, I want all of you in your life to see what I saw next. I'm in there, nothing worked. It's supposed to, but it didn't. And then the little boy's T-shirt, I don't know why, it was just smooth across his chest. I'm leaning down, sweating. It's about 43 degrees centigrade in that room. I mean, I am scalded. And them guys are still spitting at me back there. But that didn't change a thing. God wasn't impressed with them or me. That little boy's shirt bounced. And I saw it. I go, are you serious? I said, no kidding. I raise up. I mean, I'm bug-eyed now. What? And the dad, his eyes are big. He goes, you saw it too? I said, I saw it. And a little T-shirt bounced. It works! It works! And about 2 minutes later, I felt the first heartbeat hit the right pulse over here. And stop. I said, no! You keep beating. I don't know what it took to get you going, but work! And then it got sporadic, where it would beat about 10 or 15 and stop for a few. Beat 10 or 15, and then it got to where it was. And then I watched his color come back in his skin. And he got flexible again. And I'm just going, oh my God. Oh my God. This stuff works. Oh. And then he opened his eyes. Now, to them, I'm a big white fella. It scares the fire out of them kids in these villages. But he didn't get frightened of me. He's just looking at me. I pick him up. And I didn't know what to do with him. Whose is he? Is he mine? Whose is he? But then I reminded how Elijah brought the little boy back to the mom and said, give him something to eat. Jesus brought the girl to the mom, give her something to eat. So I'm thinking, these guys probably know what's right. So I tote this little boy, and he's just as calm. He's so healthy and alive. And I bring him over to his mom, yeah. And I said to the mom, look, I don't know why it worked, but it did. Here's your son raised from the dead by the blood of Jesus the righteous. And she just took that kid. She's looking at me. She's just freaking out. I mean, you got to understand, she went from a dead kid to a live kid. Her emotions are chup. I said, I don't know why, but in the Bible, they always told the mom to give them something to eat. Give them something to eat. And if you got any left, I want some too. I'm hungry also. Since that day, this hand right here, this one, this hand right here, normal chopped off finger hand, 33 dead raisins. See that? Right here. Now, are we okay on time? Time's okay? Let me read a verse so we can act spiritual. Verse 3. What does it say in verse 3? Read it to me, someone. You, O Lord, what are you? You're my shield. What else are you? My glory. What else? What does it feel like to lose so much in a row and then win? How high do you think my head was by the time I got home to my wife? I don't even remember the ride home. Do you understand? My wife's cooking. It's late. Must be 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. She's cooking me a meal. I'm sitting there. Service go. How'd service go? Oh, it was all right. She said, well, anything special happened? I said, absolutely. You going to tell me about it? I said, yeah. God raised the little boy from the dead. She picked the skillet up. I thought she's going to hit me with it. I said, we won, Ms. Hogan. We won. We made it in. Now, since that day, there's a large number, over 500 dead raisings in Mexico in our work. You hear me? That's a lot of people. That's probably what we got in here. Just figure, if we wouldn't have been there, this many people wouldn't be alive. Think about it. But because of Jesus, they are. You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, my lifter. Verse 4, with my voice I cry to the Lord. So let's do that. Say, Jesus. I need you. With my voice, say it, my voice. I call out to the mercy of God. I call to the goodness of God. Hear my cry. Help me. I need you, Jesus. He hears and answers me out of his holy hill. Tell him thank you. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for answering us. We need you, Jesus. We acknowledge the facts that we need you, Jesus. Psalms 41. Y'all there? If you were prophetic, you would have already been there. Say, that's true. Psalms 41. What's the first word?
Yes.
Say it again.
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 Yes.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I'm a son of God.
I'm a son of God.
I am a favorite son.
I'm a favorite son.
I am God's favorite.
I'm God's favorite.
He loves me.
I am the blessed of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Shakaba. Now, I have to tell you a story about this stuff since I had you bring your junk up here. There's lots of amazing stories. There's thousands of people healed with cloths. I'm sorry to you that you didn't know that. It's not my fault. I read my Bible. We've had everything that there is healed, even dead raisings, with cloth. Here? Do you hear me? And for you who say to me, I don't believe that, you're the very one I'm after. There's a term for you. Unbeliever. Jesus calls you the condemned, the damned. Oops. But there's a term for people like me. I'm a believer. I am a son of God. I am a child of a king. I am an heir of the throne of heaven. Catching on yet? Jesus is king. I think I'm going to tell you about the one from South Korea. I really like it because it involves this technology guy. Especially the young people in here, you're so enthusiastic about your technology. It's to God to you now. First of the year, February, I was over there in South Korea with Heidi and Roland Baker. They invited me over there because we was doing some kind of bashing of hell. I don't remember the name of the thing. It was just lots of fun. And they invited me to come over there, and so I went. And so we do this. Wherever I go, I invite people to let's do this because you never know. Heaven might roll up in there with us. There's a seriously high possibility of that. And so we had thousands of cloths and coats and shoes, and people were taking their shirts off. All sorts of stuff was going on. Whether I agree or not, it's not relevant. It's what happened. So we pray over all this stuff. You'll see in a minute. Just pray for it. Jesus' name. Because clearly in the Bible, in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says, "And God did unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs, towels, cloth were bought and put on his skin. And normal people took the normal cloth, carried it home, and the sick were healed and demons came out of people." So I advocate this stuff. I preach it. I believe it. And so, you know, we left. And here again in May or June, I was back down there in South Korea again. And they took me, they always give you these people to take you out to eat. I don't know how they cast lots and get these, I don't know how it happens. I don't know. So I'm with, my wife and I are with these people. I don't know them. I don't know why they want to look me in the face. We can't talk to each other hardly. Now what I'm fixing to tell you is awesome. You hear me? Okay. Just a normal rag. As far as I know, there was nothing special about the rag. What matters is the God. What matters is the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. This is awesome. This pastor, this guy I was with in Korea, he says to me, "I want you to go out with these people. They need to talk to you." I said, "Fine, whatever." They carried me to this real fancy hotel. We went to the top floor, and the top floor of the building is turning. And they say to me, "Brother Hogan, over here on the west, there's concrete. It's a city. Over here on the north, there's more concrete." And I'm going, "Why do you want a building to turn to look at concrete? Seems like a waste of money. All you're going to see is concrete." So I'm sitting in there, and there's this buffet. I guess Everything in the ocean was in there. And I've never found anything out of the ocean I don't like. I like everything in there. There was stuff crawling out of the bowls. I told my wife, I hope I don't have to eat that. It's still moving. There was a special paid person with them little sticks putting that stuff back in the pot. I thought that was unusual. I had never seen that before. Now, let me tell you who this fella is. I didn't know who he was. But I'm going to tell you, I have nothing in common with him. Here, let me see that iPhone. Where's it at, Corbin? Totally chopped. This is my iPhone thing right here. The guy that created the touch screen is sitting in front of me. Is that big shot enough for you? Apple bought his creation. Now we all have it. So he's got lots of money, is what I'm saying. And I may not have ever seen such a brilliant human before. That could just come out of his mind, he saw it and created it. So, my question was, when he told me who he was, I said, so what do you need with me? All I do is raise the dead. I don't create iPhone touchpad screens. We don't have anything in common at all. Yours is an animate thing. Mine is real. Yours perishes. Mine will never perish.
Amen.
What do we have in common? Nothing. He said, but we do. Now, think about the politics that this man can generate. Any nation in the world would love for him to have a home where they could say he lives in our land. Think of the money his product is generating. None of us can probably do that number that high. Okay. His brother got sick a few days after we left in February. You'd think that his technology would heal him. The way people think about this stuff, you'd think it could heal you. The problem is, it cannot. It's simply a man-made tool. So what was the matter with that guy? He had a... What is it that creates insulin? Pancreas. That's the one. The guy's pancreas got infected. Now, somebody with that much wealth, you wouldn't think they would get sick like that. Or you think that if they do get sick, because of who his brother is, somebody on the planet should be able to fix him. Not true. That's why I have a job. Do you understand? I'm not the president's choice. I'm not the smartest guy in this room right here. But I am the guy that can help you. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So I said, what do you need with me? We should eat first. I said, no, we shouldn't. We should talk first. Because them bugs are crawling out. They're going to be doing that all day. He said, my brother got an infection in his pancreas. It spread to 5 other organs. They were going to pull the plug on my brother. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm telling you, I was caught so off guard by this. Every time, I'm caught off guard. Every time. Because you'd think brilliance on that level could figure something out. But there's just not a reckoning. There's no answer. It's Jesus.
Yes.
The answer is Jesus. And I get rebuked almost daily because I oversimplify. Seriously, do I? So this great thing you're doing, how's that working for you? How many of your dead are you going to bury before you wake up? We can slow this thing down. We can turn some of these plagues. We can do it. We can do this. They called him in. The doctors. And they told you. I mean, they have to tell the rich the same as they do the poor. We got to pull the plug. There's nothing we can do. The doctor told the creator fellow, go to the funeral home and get it organized. He'll be dead at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to pull the plug. We're absolutely nothing we can do. His body's full of infection. He's on 100% life support. So the mother's crying, the son's consoling her, the other brothers are there, they did their cry. All right, they went to the funeral home and they got it arranged. Now it's 9-something at night, he went home finally, food's on the table, he's depressed, he's sad. This is a guy that's a multi-millionaire, but he couldn't change the results. Boy, I love this, you understand? This is a good thing. God did a really good miracle here. He goes rolling in there and he's depressed. He's showing signs of sadness. His wife says to him, are you going to eat? No, they're pulling my brother's thing in the morning. I don't want to eat. I don't feel like it. She said, well, have you taken the rag? He goes, what rag? You know, the one that they prayed for in February. He goes, no, where is that thing? So they find the rag. He gets on the phone. He calls his mom. Now, this is this brilliant guy. See? I get converts, boy. I get converts. The family meets up there at 10 o'clock at night at the hospital. The doctors are rolling in there with them. They got the video cameras going. They got the whole thing happening. Y'all know. Y'all know. Now you got to get this. Please understand. You got this brilliant mind that just created this famous phone over here. And now he's got a rag in his hand. And he rolls up in there with those doctors. And he lays that rag on his brother's face and he says, in the name of Jesus that the man prayed for this preaches, get up. Hey, the man sat up. You know, If it was just a fluke, it would have been awesome. It wasn't. The guy rips that thing off his face and he says, I'm hungry. And the doctor's looking at him. You can't have no food. You're dying. So the mama, you know mamas, there's some of them sitting in this room. You don't mess with mom, Jack. Mama said, get him some food. You want to know what God did? You interested? God created five brand new organs. That's pretty good. I have to say, that's pretty good. So that's what this is about. Because we got to have results, don't we? It's time. Say it. It's time. Psalms 41. Y'all there? What's the first word?
Yes.
That was weak.
Yes.
That's a little better. Say it with me. We are the blessed of the Lord. See what I tell my wife? Y'all have to understand this. I'll read these verses and I'll tell my wife. How old is this Bible verse? She'll tell me, I don't know. Thousands of years. I say, well, how did they know about me when they wrote this? I am the blessed of the Lord. Say it.
I am blessed of the Lord.
Now, I have the Amplified version up here, and it gets a little bit better. There's another word right after the blessed. Does anybody know what it is?
Happy.
Say it.
Happy.
No. Say it.
Happy.
Let me tell you what's wrong with me. Some of y'all are wondering, and I'm going to tell you. What's wrong with me is I've got this thing on me called joy. And I'm exhaustingly joyful. It just wears everybody out. And I just look at them. Are you serious? What do you think happy looks like? Say me, happy looks like me, say it. Blessed. Happy. Blessed. Happy.
That's me.
In Jesus' name.
Shabbat.
I'm going to tell you just one more story because it's getting late and I'm bored. I'm ready to do something else. Where I live in Mexico, we're at war. The nation's at war. All the other missionaries and missions groups, all of them's gone. But I went to God with it. I fasted for 40 days. I said, look here. There's a war, God. What do you want me to do? I feel like running. Because you take these people, they fillet these people. You understand fillet?
Yeah.
Cut the skin off of them, leave them alive. They behead them. They dismember them. Hang them up on the overpasses. Carve things into their stomachs. These men are cowards. They're from the devil. Clear enough? They're what's called an unbeliever. They are my enemy. God said to us to hold our ground. That's been how many years? Five? 5 years. There's nobody left but us. Almost every night you hear the gun battle. Boom, boom, hand grenades. It is not fun. It is frightening. my grandkids, my wife, my kids. There you go. Look how quiet you got. Fair enough. Well, let me read you this again, just in case you forgot. Blessed.
Yes.
Happy.
Happy.
Fortunate.
Fortunate.
To be envied. Is he who considers the weak and the poor.
Is he who considers the weak and the poor.
That's me.
That's me.
This one fella in this one area, he's this chieftain guy. He's a captain for one of those real ruthless cartels. He's a bad guy. Very, very, very. I don't like this fellow, period. I wish God would kill him. That's, you know, here's the thing. You don't want me to say that, but if I wasn't standing here saying it, you would say it in your car by yourself. I'm just telling you the truth about how I feel. It's hard not to pick up some of those AK-47s and go back and meet them, talk to them some on their terms. Say what you want. You see enough atrocities, it dampens your resolve not to kill them. You understand? Okay. I'll lighten it up some. So this guy's been, especially one of our pastors, they caught him 13 times. These bad guys have. They got all these guns on him and they've made him do things that I'm not going to tell you about. They're horrible. And he's a pastor. But 13 times the angel of the Lord has come and delivered this man. Because we're just not going to take up arms. We're not going to do it. We're going to believe in the Holy Ghost because we are the blessed of the Lord.
Amen.
We are the happy of the Lord. We are the fortunate of the Lord. We are the to be envied of the Lord. Is the man who considers the poor. That's me. They need a hero. It may as well be me. So, you know, this guy's causing us trouble on every front. I mean, he's figuring us out. We're pretty sharp, but he's smart. He sits and thinks about us, and he tricks us and traps us and all sorts of stuff. That means people are stolen and sold into slavery, and you never see them again. That means people are killed. Our brothers are killed, and our women are raped. I hope you never experience that. It really does bother you. But it's good for them that I'm the blessed of the Lord. I am the happy of God. And that's not a threat. That's a dead gummit promise. Jesus is King.
Amen.
And I'm sorry to you that I'm not as good as you. But you're not over there teaching me how to do this now, are you? I'm having to figure it out in the middle of these gun battles. All right, that's enough of that. Now, so how are we going to handle this enemy? He owns the land. He is the head politician. He's the head guy with the guns. He's the guy that's got houses that's got pallets 4 feet by 4 feet. By 4 feet tall, full of money. No guards. How can that much money sit there with no guards? Thank you, that's a fair question. I think I'll answer it for you. Because if you take it, one $100 bill, one Benjamin Franklin, U.S., cartel will hunt you down. And then they will fillet and rape your babies in front of you. And then they'll cut them all to pieces while you watch. And then they will dismember you and leave you alive. You understanding yet? See, this ain't the gospel. Preach us the gospel. This is the gospel. We've allowed hell to take our land. You ready? Say it with me. Jesus,
Jesus,
I love you.
I'll bless this land.
I'll bless this land. In the name of Jesus. I'll speak peace to this land.
I'll speak healing to this land.
I'll speak life to this land. In Jesus' name. Now let me tell you how awesome your God is, and then we'll do something else. This horrible bad guy is home alone. You know, his guards are outside on the perimeter. He's in there. I don't know if he's drinking. I don't know what he's doing. Don't care. Don't care. I don't want to know what he's doing. I don't like this guy. He's poison to the land. An audible voice speaks to the guy in his own house. He says to the guy, there's a pastor and here's his address. And we had diligently kept moving these people, hiding them from this guy. And God rolls up in there and gives him our guy's address. That's appalling. I'm telling you, God thinks he's in charge. The guy wrote it down on a piece of paper. And he says, okay, what am I going to do with this guy? Talking to a voice, he don't know who it is. He's never read the Bible in his life. The voice speaks back to him, says, you're going to go and talk to him, and he's going to pray for you, and I am going to heal your land. This guy says, that's all awesome and everything, but who are you? He said, my name is I Am. That's weird, huh? He still goes by that. After all these thousands of years, he's still the same fella. Or whatever he is. And so now you got to get this. Our pastor thinks he's all hid away in everything. All of a sudden there's a knock on the door. He goes to the door and there's all these guys with machine guns. And the bad guy standing there. How's it going? He called him by name. He said, how'd you find me? He said, I didn't. He said, there's this voice whose name is I Am. This is awesome, isn't it? Don't you just love this? See, I want to twist this guy's head off. What does God want? He wants to save him. What's up with that? That is not what we do. We make more bullets, more guns, and we kill them. We figure out how to carpet bomb the place and make sure we get the guy. Remember, I'm an American. I know what they do. Y'all, this is so awesome. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Your God is bizarre. He just, I'm telling you, he's out of control. He just does what he wants to. He's awesome. He just rolls into places where it's the worst people and he just talks to them like they're friendly. It's appalling. And he expects me to let him get away with it. God, he is so awesome, y'all. Your God is so alive. I know how it looks like we're losing. That ain't right. We are sons of God. Do you understand that? Now watch. You get ready. This is scary. Oh my God. This boss guy tells our pastor, who is an Indian now, he's already scared. He goes, on this day right here, you are going to be at the centro. What's the centro? In square, the square of the town. Because I've already rented the sound equipment. All of my army is going to be there. All of the politicians are going to be there. And you're going to pray for us. And this I am is going to heal our land. Amazing, huh? This is weird, eh? Okay. I mean, it caught me off guard more than you because I don't like this fellow, period. And you don't have any history with him. So it's easier for you. Listen now. This is wonderful. I'm sorry to you for what's fixed to come out of my mouth. I apologize to you. God just is so out of control. He does what he wants to. He never involves us in his plans. He lets us come along and watch. He is wonderful.
Awesome.
He is mighty.
Yes.
He is counselor.
Yes.
He is the living God.
Yes.
He is the almighty God.
Yes.
He is el todopoderoso. Almighty. Shakaba. So the day finally comes. Could you imagine this, Pastor? Oh my God. You got hundreds of machine guns. You got these hardened criminals, these ultra harsh bad guys. And you got all these politicians, they're exactly like the bad guys. They're horrible. And they're standing up there. You got to understand, this guy has never been to school. Ever. And this leader says, he told them, I am spoke to me. Told all these people. And I am told me to do this. I mean, you got to understand how awful this. I mean, this is awful looking. Because he don't have a clue. But he got one. He said, the pastor, he told him his name and his address. He said, I am told me where this guy lives. And it was true. Now he's going to pray for us and our land will be healed. So this pastor. He gets that microphone, starts praying in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm sorry to you about this next part. Because you know we would have got together. We wouldn't have planned it like this. But the Holy Ghost came. Now, look, none of these people are saved. None. Hundreds of them. The Holy Ghost rolls in. Whack! Knocked them all out. Bad guy. I told my pastor, did you run around picking up some guns for us? No, Brother David, I got knocked out too. He said to me, I am came in there. And no flesh will stand in the presence of God. What? Now, I'm telling you, you're not going to believe this. I have trouble with all of it. Because all of a sudden, I get an invitation to go there and preach. I said, I'm not coming. It's a hoax. It's got to be a hoax. So I went there anyway. Here comes the bad guy walking in. And I'm looking at him. He walked straight in. The brothers parted. It looked like Jesus was walking through there. That fellow walked straight up to me, looked me right in the face. So, you're David, huh? I said, yep, you're the bad guy, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. He said, I want to tell you thank you for Jesus. I said, what? You should have seen this. He told me, come on, let's do this. He said, I want to watch you. And I go, watch me do what? So we start worshiping God, you know, and I'm worshiping God because I'm all over the place, you know. He's watching me. Next thing you know, he's doing it just like me. And I got this convert. He's the meanest guy in the world. And then after church is all over, we did the whole thing. It was awesome. Nobody killed us. It was awesome. He comes up to me and he says to me, you're coming with me. I said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew that was going to get me. Ah! I said, it ain't going to happen. I ain't going with you anywhere. He said, you will. I said, I won't. And then the pastor comes over. What's going on, Brother David? This fellow wants me to go with him somewhere. I say, what? He left. Wow, that's encouraging. So I told my son Joseph, you're going with me. Yes, sir. That's the only thing you say. We step out in the street. I'm waiting on Jody. I don't remember what it was. I was waiting. And this guy, he's standing there. I don't know his name. He's still a bad guy to me. He walks up to me. He says, I need you to calm down. I said, I'm calm. He said, no, you're not. He said, I'm not going to kidnap you. I said, gracias. That was really encouraging. You might fillet me, but you're not going to kidnap me. All right. So where are we going? This guy's notorious. He's wanted in like 3 or 4 nations. He's really high profile. Somebody y'all want to see hang. Trust me on this one. I'm not going to tell you his name. Because he's a brother now. He's got. We're getting him saved. He's working on being saved. Just like you are. He says, I need you to come with me. I said, fine, let's go. I told Jody. This guy speaks perfect English, too. I told my son, if he flinches. I got it, Dad, he said. Y'all, we went to his house. It was a long walk over there. Went to his house. Guns everywhere. People running from us. I don't know if it was us or him. We walk in his house. Man, you don't know nervous. You think you know nervous. There are guns everywhere. You know the saying, you know, like I'm American, that we're still fighting to hold our guns, right? If they take our guns, only the bad guys will have guns. That's a true statement. You ought to have seen this house. I'm telling you, it was a fortress. We roll in there, and there's a new God that y'all don't know yet. His name is Santa Muerte. Holy Death. They worship him. Very evil. Very evil.
This thing is evil. It's coming. Get ready. I'm warning you to be a Christian. You need to be a Christian now. It's coming. And I know you think you're safe. You're not. You need Jesus. I'm here to warn you. That's all I know to say. Jesus loves you and you need to act like it. Man, I walked in there. One wall is Santa Muerte. The other wall's all this whiskey and all this stuff. I told heaven, no, God, this ain't where I like to live. I don't want this. And that guy's looking at me. Come here. Oh, God. You can't believe how hard it is to take a step when you don't want to. I went around the corner and there's an old man in a wheelchair. You know who he is? Crime boss. He is the man the world's looking for. But his legs are cut off. He's blind. He's mutilated from his evil. And the son who I am spoke to, he says to me, do it. Do what? Do to him what you did to me. Do it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God brought me to one of the top crime bosses in our area. He spoke audibly to his son. The boy got, well, he's a man, got saved, and we're trying to get him out of the business now. Now I got the boss, and the son wants me to get him saved and healed. You understand? My heart is telling me, leave this guy alone, because the black helicopter's fixing to come any second. It's going to get all of you. And if they get them, I don't need to be swept up with them. But it's too late, isn't it? So I might as well act like a man of God, shouldn't I? Shouldn't I care about what hell wants to eat and devour? Shouldn't I care to deliver him? Because what if we can get this family out? Do you understand the pillaging and the rape and the murdering that will cease? Because of mercy. Not because of gunplay. You need to hear me. There is a better way. It's the blood of Jesus. And it's for you. Do you hear me? It's for you. Say it's for me. Because I'm the blessed. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the happy of the Lord. That's me. I'm the fortunate. I'm the to be envied. This is me. In Jesus' name. Will you stand, please? Thank you, Corbin. We okay? You all right? It's pretty incredible stories. That's all I know to say. Isn't it amazing? And I believe it's for everybody. So start worshiping Jesus where you are. Vayan orando por las cosas, eh? You start worshiping God right where you are. You don't need to be coached. You don't need... It'd be nice if we had some tunes, but I don't know the name of the tune makers. So I don't know how to call them. How y'all doing? Bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bless you. Hello, ma'am. How are you? God bless you.
Thank you.
This thing is real.
It is. Amen.
Holy Ghost. Fire on your family. Whoop. Red tags. He told me to look for red tags. The dead are raised, the blind see. These lords of hell are getting saved. Enemies, my enemies, are getting saved by the fistful. 27, 28, 29 year battles. Impossible odds. Shabba! Jose, y'all pick this stuff up and set it up there in this thing. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We got this. Listen, I've been shot. I've been left for dead 3 times. I've been whipped, I don't know how many times. Beat, clubs, stones. Oh, yeah. But I believe I still have a pretty good attitude.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Just keep singing, keep worshiping. It's great. You're doing great. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, the most important thing I do in life is rescue the perishing and care for the dying. If you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to come up here. Softly, softly. If you don't know Jesus, come. If you feel like you're backsliding your spirit, I need you to come up here. Please, don't be ashamed or afraid. The reason I breathe is to help you. And I'm really good at my job. Shukuba. If somebody's standing beside you and they don't know Jesus, bring them up here, please. Just touch them on the hand and walk with them. It's okay. If you know somebody's backslid, just slip your hand over there and touch them. Just walk down here. Come on. Holy Ghost. Keep singing. Gonna do a little bit more of this, then we'll change to something else. Come to Jesus. Don't be afraid. Come. Bless you, sir. Yes, sir. David. Anyone else? Fire. fire of the Lord release into your spirit, baby. Fire. Anyone else? Come here, son. How you doing? Doing all right? What's your name?
Sealand.
Sealand. My name's David Sealand.
Nice to meet you, David.
You too, sir. You need Jesus, sir? That is an amazing, awesome choice. Because look at me in the eyes. I have not lied to you. I've told you the truth. Jesus loves you, brother. You hear me? Anyone else? Tell me about it, pretty. What do you need? Don't be ashamed. Look at me. I don't have any fear. Look at me. You finally met a believer. Hey, sir, how are you? God bless you, sir.
Those of you who came down here to receive Jesus or to just renew yourself in Him, let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, I'm here tonight. I need You. I need Your help. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. I need a change in my life. This is the day that Jesus is my Lord. I believe it. I believe that You died for me, Jesus. And I believe that You rose again. And that's enough for me. We can do this. Help me, Jesus. Amen.
Hey, y'all pray. Hank, y'all pray for these folks, will you? Y'all welcome them. Welcome them. Holy Ghost. Fire. Now just keep worshiping God. Keep going. Keep it up. Keep it up. Fire on you, sir. Jesus bless you, sir. Yes, sir. Jesus bless you, baby. Doing great, darling. You're doing great. Jesus. Now, tonight I'm not gonna pray for everybody tonight, but if He'll let us, we might do a fire tunnel tomorrow. Is that all right? Okay. We'll see. But if you're in here incurable, you have a sickness, come. If it's fibromyalgia, diabetes, hepatitis, arthritis family, cancer family, any of those things, I'm not going to name them all. Come. Come up here. We're going to pray. Ushers, y'all grab these folks and make lines or whatever y'all used to. Jesus' name.
Also up here looking for healing. I need an operation in a week or two from now for a hernia.
In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. How you doing, sir? Kusha Baba. Well, we'll help you a little. Is that all right? Holy Ghost. You know, I'm 65 years old, and in the last 2 years, I ran 18 marathons. Not bad for an old guy, huh? 7 of which were ultras. Oops. That ain't bad for an old guy. So how are we doing? Good? Holy Ghost is going to bless you. I hope you're ready. Jesus. Hello, dear. How we doing? You all right? Jesus. How's it going? You okay? Fire! Is this us? In the name of Jesus, I'd like for y'all that came down here. I am interested, but I don't want to know. It's too many folks. What I want you to do is lift your hands to God and be specific, please. What you're looking for, call it out to God, okay? Can we do that? In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Fire. In Jesus' name.